This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by the writer Amy Bloom. Amy's marvelous short story collection, Come to Me, which I highly recommend, was a finalist for the National Book Award. She's published 3 short story collections and 2 New York Times best-selling novels. Her writing has appeared in The New Yorker, The Atlantic Monthly, and The New York Times Magazine, among others. She is currently the Shapiro Silverberg Professor of Creative Writing at Wesleyan University, which is also her alma mater. She joins us today to discuss her new novel, White Houses, which just released from Random House. The novel explores the relationship between First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt and the reporter Lorena Hickok. Welcome, Amy. Why a book about Eleanor Roosevelt and Lorena Hickok?
Well, I'm a novelist, and so I suppose part of the answer is always, well, why not? But what drew me to it is that this is a love story that was sort of disappeared from history, and not disappeared by accident, not just lost in a pile of papers, but, you know, sort of intentionally concealed both by the participants and also the people around them, and also the journalists of the day and also the historians of that day and afterwards. And I did find myself thinking, what would it be like to look at your own family photo album and see that you had been clipped out, and the place where you knew you had sat and the songs that you knew you had sung were erased?
I wondered if you could describe Lorena. I mean, and we should start off by saying the novel is from her first person point of view.
I felt that she was a great storyteller. I mean, first of all, she's a journalist. So she's observant and she's attentive to detail and she's interested in, you know, all of the great story elements, what, where, why, who, when, all those things. So that made her a great storyteller. I wanted an outsider, not an insider. And she was the preeminent female journalist of her day. She was the first woman to have a New York Times byline. She comes across as somebody very frank, very feisty, funny, very driven, one of the few women in a, to say male-dominated profession is to really mischaracterize it, in what was a male profession. And my Lorena, which is not, you know, not just the Lorena of her letters and her reports on the Depression, but the person as I came to imagine her, is just one of the great old broads.
I wondered if you wanted to kind of explain how you've structured this novel and where the novel sort of begins in history.
The novel is centered, sort of like it's the hub of a wheel. The novel is centered on a weekend that Eleanor and Lorena spend together a couple of weeks after Franklin has died, and they have not been lovers for several years, but they have maintained their friendship. And then when Eleanor is in terrible distress after Franklin's death, Lorena is the person she reaches out to.
I was really taken by some of the psychological undercurrents in this book and in your work, your other work, but I wanted to kind of read a quote that stood out to me in that regard and then talk about the complexity that is working in this novel. And in this little quotation, Lorena is trying to describe how she masks her feelings from Eleanor. And at this moment, I think the women have decided not to be romantically involved, but Lorena is continuing to have a presence at the White House. And she says, "I pretended every day to be Eleanor's friend. I pretended to feel fond and calm, concerned but apart. There wasn't any room for what I did feel, which was a furious sort of shame run through with terrible strands of hope." So kind of a complex dynamic. And I wondered if you could kind of talk about how you gave voice to these feelings and also how they are subterranean.
Oh, I think people are complicated. I think my great interest in writing is usually the story that lies between what people say and how they actually feel. What I think of is like the gap between the sidewalk and the street. You know, there's that little stepping off point, and that's where so many things are hidden and important. You know, most of what motivates us is not what we say motivates us. And I think that there is often in relationships longing that people live with, all sorts of longing. And that longing drives our behavior, whether we wish it to or not, whether we're conscious of it or not. But, you know, nobody has everything they want. And the things that we want often push us in various directions, whether they are, you know, necessarily sensible or reasonable or not.
So what was it about Eleanor, do you think, that caused Lorena to fall in love with her?
I think lots of people fell in love with Eleanor, whether they fell in love with her romantically or not. I think she was a woman of great spirit, great heart, a tremendous listener, a very smart woman, very compassionate, and a great cultivator of friendship. So I think all of those things together. David Gurevich, who was her physician at the end of her life, his wife wrote a book about her friendship with Eleanor Roosevelt and said, you know, some women had to compete with Marilyn Monroe. It was much harder for her. She had to compete with Eleanor Roosevelt. And I think that's because she was such a compelling and appealing presence.
And this might be a good moment to talk about some of the archival work that you did while you were preparing this manuscript. And I understand that you went to the FDR Library and Museums. And I wondered if you could talk about some of what you read, what it said, and how that informed your interpretations.
Sure. I love the Roosevelt Library. I mean, I tend to like libraries anyhow, and this is a particularly lovely library and wonderful archives, and you ask for what you're looking for, and if you're not entirely clear, they can help you out, and then they bring out cart after cart, not too many at once. I think maybe only three or six at any one time, and I worked my way through the 18 boxes of the correspondence between Lorena and Eleanor over 30 years. And it was very moving. I mean, it was wonderful to look at the letters. It was wonderful to admire their penmanship and also, you know, to read the progress of the relationship from the passionate affair to the enduring friendship to the ups and downs and the jealousies and the possessiveness and the hurt feelings and the determination not to lose each other entirely but to construct something that would endure nevertheless, even if the fire had gone out.
So what kinds of things did they talk about in these letters?
Well, they talked about everything. They talked about politics. They talked about the well-being of the Democratic Party, which they were both very involved in. They talked about what was going on with FDR, how the speech was received, how his health was, how Lorena's health was, the gown that Eleanor had picked out and that Lorena had seen in a photograph because she wasn't around at the time. And, you know, what she said was both, you know, a beautiful dress, but maybe in the middle of a depression, we don't really need a first lady in a satin gown. So there was a lot of warmth. There was also a certain amount of poking and scolding on both parts, you know, and a wish to have a fabric that held them both together, whether it was Eleanor writing, I long to kiss the southeast corner of your lips and hold you close to me, which is one of those things that made it fairly clear to me that this was not two pals in a long-term friendship, or them writing back and forth about how the dogs were and who was looking after the dogs and, you know, how the dog was doing. And everything from the great and what's going on with Winston Churchill to the tiny and mundane, you know, how is your dog feeling? I know that he had an upset tummy a few days ago.
So this was a wonderful novel. Do you have any plans for its future?
What we hope will be happening is that it will turn into a TV miniseries, which one of the executive producers describes as a ragtag American answer to The Crown.
And are you adapting the novel? Are you working on the sort of screenplay side?
I am. Very exciting, and it's a wonderful opportunity.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on to share a little bit about your new book, White Houses. It has been a total pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've been talking with novelist Amy Bloom about her new book, White Houses, which just released from Random House. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.